Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on the 2nd August 2018 as part of Thursday live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashant Tinalayam. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu and welcome once again to a lovely episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. Today we have a sweet bhajan adoring our Lord as Lord Krishna. So it's a lovely tune, very simple, very beautiful. Here is how the first line of the bhajan flows.
Radha, Radha, Gokul Bala.
So this is what we will learn now, and like in every episode of this program, let's get started with the lyrics, then we'll move on to the raga, the tune, and then you're going to have a beautiful session of satsang with Brother Sai Giridhar. He's going to share his insights on the words that make the bhajan. And after that, you will listen to the final version of this bhajan as it is sung in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashant Nilayam. So let's get started with the lyrics.
Radha, Radha, Gokula, Bala, Nanda, Nanda, Mukunda, Gopala, Navanita, Chora, Shama, Gopala, Radha, Madhava, Rasa, Vilola.
So those are the lyrics of the bhajan, and here is the tune of the bhajan. Brother Ravi Kumar along with Brother Anirudh will now give us a slow demonstration of the tune of the bhajan. No beats, no instruments, just the tune, simple and clear.
This bhajan is being sung in the scale G sharp pancham.
Radha, Radha, Gokul Bala. Radha, Radha, Gokul Bala.
Radha, Radha, Gokul Bala.
Radha, Radha, Gokul Bala.
Nanda, Nanda, Mukunda, Gopala.
Nanda, Nanda, Mukunda, Gopala.
Nanda, Nanda, Mukunda, Gopala.
Nanda, Nanda, Mukunda Gopala.
Navanita Chora, Shama Gopala.
Navanita Chora, Shama Gopala.
Navanita Chora, Shama Gopala.
Navanita Chora, Shama Gopala.
Radha Madhava Rasa Vilola.
Radha Madhava Rasa Vilola.
Radha Madhava Rasa Vilola.
Radha Madhava Rasa Vilola.
Radha, Radha, Gokul Bala.
So that's the lovely Namavali Bhajan, adoring Lord Krishna and his beloved devotee Radha. And you heard the tune in the voices of Brother Ravi Kumar and Anirudh. So for those of us who are interested in the makeup of the bhajan, here is Anirudh to share more about the raga of the bhajan. So what are your thoughts on the technicalities, Anirudh?
Saram Bishu.
Saram.
This beautiful Namavali bhajan is, you can say it may slightly belong to a raga called Abheri or Bhimpalas in the Hindustani classical music. Though the notes are not being fully utilized in this bhajan, but it's a, as you mentioned, it's a very simple tune. So the moment the simplicity comes in, the number of notes used in the bhajan is are less. So, and we have many other vintage bhajans and simple namavalis where we may have just the five notes. So something like
Dina Bandhu Vithala Jai Karuna Sindhu Vithala Jai.
So the maximum it goes is
Dina,
and the lowest note is
Sa.
Same is the case in
Murali Krishna, Mukunda Krishna, Mohana Krishna, Krishna Krishna.
These are the similar bhajans to think about when we sing this Radha Radha Gokula Bala. In Abheri you have
Sa Ga
Komal Ga
Ma Pa Ni
Komal Ni
Sa Sa Ni Dha Pa
Shuddha Dha
Pa Ma Ga Ri Sa.
So while coming back you have all the seven notes, and while going up you have
Sa Ga Ma Pa Ni Sa Ni Dha Pa Ma Ga Ri Sa.
If you look at Abheri as a proper raga and which is used in bhajans, you have many bhajans like Kasturi Tilakam,
Jaya Jaya Rama,
which are in bhajans. What happens is we mix certain ragas and the notes so that, but the output is something which is very sweet and melodious to hear. So if you go too technical about it, you might feel that the raga is deviated so much. But always, as we say in the winter vintage bhajan tutor episodes, that the better way to enjoy a bhajan is to feel the bhajan, the bhava, as Swami always says, than to go technically into the deviation aspect of the raga, or line by line, or maybe half line also there is one raga.
Basically, it is a tune that has chosen the bhajan, not exactly a raga.
yes.
And the tune could be a mix of one raga, it could be a mix of two ragas.
Yes, it is absolutely the choice of the composer.
Yes.
And how he gets the idea from
choice of the inspiration.
Yes, exactly.
When the composing happens by Bhagwan's grace.
Yes. So such simple bhajans have simple tune, as we already mentioned.
And because it is just Namavalis, you know, there is no way actually you can really think technical about a bhajan like this.
Yes, absolutely.
But we have to discuss it because we are discussing it part of the program. But anybody who wants to play the bhajan also in their instruments, you know, you just pick up the instrument and you will learn how to play it, isn't it?
One more easy way of categorizing the bhajans into raga is good for the harmonium players.
Yes.
Than to learn the each tune or how it goes for each bhajan. That will take a long time.
Yes.
Whereas if they classify the bhajans into these ragas, like you have Revati, these many bhajans are there in the raga. You have something similar to Abheri, Bhimpalas, you have so many bhajans. So once the Abheri, Bhimpalas comes to your mind, then the notes, you can think of the notes like Shuddha, which are the Shuddha, which are the Komal.
Yes.
So then from any key, it becomes very easy to accompany the singer.
Mm.
So that is one of the major goal in giving the raga information and swaras in this, in our program.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so let's do the detailing of the bhajan in terms of the swaras.
The first line.
Radha, Radha, Gokula Bala. Sa sa ni re re ga ga ri ni sa 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 ni ముకుంద గోపాల ని స ని స గ స ని ప ప ప ప స ని స స ని స ని స గ స ని ప ప ప ప స ని స స.
The second time we sing this line differently.
Nandananda Mukunda Gopala Nisa Nisa Gasa Ni Pa 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 Ma Pa Ga Ma Pa Sa Sa Nisa Nisa Gasa Ni Pa 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 Ma Pa Ga Ma Pa Sa Sa Navanita Choda Shama Gopala Nisa Ga Ma Pa Ni sa ga ma pa pa ga ma pa ma ga ri sa Radha Madhava rasa vilola Ga ga sa sa ga ma pa ga ri ni sa sa Ga ga sa sa ga ma pa ga ri ni sa sa.
Really a very simple bhajan, isn't it?
Yes.
So the beat also is simple?
Yes, the beat of this bhajan is 8 beat, Adi Talam or Kaherva in the classical music. Let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Radha, Radha, Gokula Bala. Radha, Radha, Gokula Bala. Nanda, Nanda, Mukunda Gopala. Nanda, Nanda, Mukunda Gopala. Navanita Choda Shama Gopala. Navanita Chora Shama Gopala. Radha Madhava Rasa Vilola. Radha Madhava Rasa Vilola. Radha Madhava Rasa Vilola. Radha Madhava Rasa Vilola. Radha Radha Gokula Bala.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Anirudh and Sai Prasad.
Sairam Vishwa.
Sairam Vishwa.
Thank
Sairam.
You.
Sairam. So with that, we are done with the technicalities of the bhajan. We know the raga, we know the beat, and now it's time to spend on the feel of the bhajan. What this bhajan means to us, what this bhajan can do to us, how we can use this bhajan to connect with our Bhagwan, how we can use this bhajan to convert our bhajan session into a lovely sadhana to connect with the Lord. And Brother Sai Giridhar now shares his insights on this bhajan over a conversation. So welcome Brother Giridhar to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom.
Sai Ram Brother.
This is the first time we are having you for the bhajan sadhana program. But, you know, bhajans are something that everyone can relate to. It's not just the singers. Everyone is a participant. Everyone is a singer. Everyone tries to connect to Bhagwan through a bhajan. You may not be someone leading the bhajan, but there's always a bhajan going on in your mind, whoever you are. Once a bhajan has fallen into your ears, it just stays and it just continues to become a part of you. So, and now we are in this process of reviving these beautiful melodies, you know, which Bhagwan used to relish and Bhagwan used to listen in the yesteryears in the 60s and 70s. So these are bhajans, you know, which are so fortunate that, you know, they were able to offer themselves to the Lord. And Bhagwan loved listening to these bhajans. And these were very, very simple namavalis. You know, most of these vintage bhajans are of that nature. You don't even have Daya Karo, Krupa Karo. You just have only the names. But there is so much sweetness in just like, you know, this bhajan. How did you feel when you heard this bhajan?
In fact, this particular bhajan was so beautiful.
to listen to. I was literally reeling in bliss, if I can put it that way, because there were so many Bhagavatam stories of Swami, of both stories from Sai Krishna's life and from Krishna's life from Dwapar Yuga, where, you know, coming to the memory and the mind, and they were so sweet and nectarine that it was filling the heart with love and joy. This is essential for doing the bhajan sadhana, because I'm one of those fortunate people who is not the lead singer. So I have to really...
Fortunate people.
Fortunate, because then I got to explore how do I really please Swami.
Yes, you don't have to really think so much about the tune. You can just be lost only in the bhava of the bhajan.
Yeah, that was, I think, one of... And I'm sure the lead singers, brother yourself, you yourself are one of the bhajan singers in Mandir. You might have to focus on the beat and the rhythm and also keep up with the pace and all that.
Yes.
I have the good fortune of not bothering about it. Those things, in a sense, whenever I want.
Whenever you want, you can follow a line outside, you can follow a line inside. You can close your eyes. If you want, you can just utter a word, or, you know, at some times you just utter the word just to yourself, just relish that name.
Yes, totally.
You
know? And it has happened many times. Mm. Especially there's this word called Mukunda, I'll come to that, which was a very beautiful experience which Bhagwan blessed with. But coming to the first few words of this beautiful bhajan, Radha, Radha, Gokula Bala. The very word Radha itself. Mm-hmm. Swami says that she was the epitome of Sarvarpita Bhavam, complete surrender to God. And her state or her love for Krishna is indescribable. I'm at loss of words literally to even articulate what I'm feeling in my heart now when I think of Radha and Krishna. It is so sublime, so pure and absolutely divine. There is a story that one of the brothers who had the good fortune of one-to-one listening to it from Swami in the interview room. Mm-hmm. He was very kind to share this story and about Radha.
Mm-hmm.
Swami told him that after all the Kurukshetra war and everything was over, Lord Krishna decided to come back to Vrindavan. And, you know, Mother Yashoda, father there, Nanda, all of them were there. All the Gopalas, Gopikas were there. But after paying respect to his parents, Krishna went straight to the banks of Yamuna, because he knew that there he would find Radha.
Mm.
So on the banks of Yamuna he went, and he saw Radha seated under a tree, just near the waters of Yamuna, sacred waters of Yamuna. And Krishna thought of a prank. You know, he hadn't been this kind of prankish young kid after he left the land of Vrindavan.
Yes.
Once he moved to Mathura, he became an administrator.
Yes.
Of course, he played many divine pranks, but they were of administrative, political and various other natures.
Yes.
But this this very, very simple and the Leela kind which he enjoyed as a child, as a young boy, those kind of Leelas were very few in a sense, because of the role that he had taken up after he had gone to Mathura, leaving Vrindavan. So this is the time that he has come back to his playground, literally.
Mm.
You know, just like how our Vrindavan was Swami's playground. So
absolutely,
he used to have a lot of fun with the students in Vrindavan, but very, very serious and strict in Prashantindra. So it's something like that, you know. So Vrindavan has always been Swami's playground.
But the Vrindavan of Sai Krishna also was a playground. That's
yes,
a different
story. No, that is what I'm saying. So Vrindavan of Sai Krishna was a playground.
Yes.
While Prashantilyam was office, head office, and he was kind of serious here. But in Vrindavan, Swami was very playful in Thrai session and in a jula and then having sessions in lawns, giving food to boys. So it was a very different experience in Vrindavan for all of us. And it was a similar case. You know, he was reflecting his leelas from Dwapar Yuga probably. So when he saw Radha, that prank nature in him, you know, the divine prank nature in him, you know, it's not the kind of prank where, you know, prank in fact, just to add here, Swami has told in Sandeha Nivarani, there are 45 points where Swami talks about his teachings, a summary of his teachings, where he specifically mentions that to do a prank is like committing a sin. Why? Because the pranks that we do is with the intention to hurt somebody and enjoy the moment out of their...
derive joy at someone else's misery.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So that is why it is something that should be completely kept away.
That way, I think the best word is that's why anything to do with the divine, you can only call it Leela.
Leela, yes.
You know, the poor substitute in English is divine sport.
Is the word sport or prank, which actually doesn't substantiate.
Yes.
So Krishna's every Leela or every sport or prank was only to give joy, only to give more ananda to everybody, including the person on whom he is playing the prank. You know, they will be transported to, they will be reeling in bliss.
Yes.
So Krishna planned one very nice Leela here. So he hid behind Radha. And this of course is a narration which Swami was giving to that student in the interview room of Prashanthi Nilayam. So, Krishna hid behind Radha, and suddenly Radha was kind of lost in something, or she was, or maybe focused on something so much, rather than say lost, maybe lost to this world. But Krishna just jumped in front of her, and you know, he presented himself in a beautiful way, and
surprise,
and then Radha looked at Krishna with a very, very normal, you know, attitude and expression, just looked at him, smiled, and then she continued with her focus. So Krishna was surprised and he said, Radha, this is Krishna, I am your Krishna, I have come back. So Radha's face showed an expression which was very quizzical and, you know, having a question mark. And Krishna said, don't you remember me? I am your Krishna. I have come after such a long time. Aren't you happy to see me? So Radha looked at him and said, oh Krishna, when did you go that you are saying that you have come back?
So what is
she
thing?
Speaking from her experience? Just imagine this kind of love of Radha. She's speaking from what she is experiencing. She says, Krishna, when did you go that you are saying that you have come back?
Come back.
She holds his hand and rushes towards the waters of Yamuna, fills her palm with the waters and says, see, in every drop of the water, aren't you there? She holds his hand, runs back to the tree and bends the branches of the tree ever so gently, shows the leaves and says, see, in these leaves, are you not there? Where did you go, Krishna, that you're saying that you have come back?
Come back, yeah.
Krishna was so overwhelmed by this, what can you say, bhava of Radha, or the state of Radha, that he said, Radha, this is for the first time that I have experienced pure unconditional love in the creation that I have made. Can you tell me what you want? I will give that to you. Radha said, I want nothing from you. Krishna then told Radha, don't you even want my love? Radha said, I know that I love you. I don't care if you love me. Love me back or not. Yes. This was the unconditional love that Radha had. And Swami had told that brother that for the first time the avatar went down on his knees. And then said, I have received something from my creation for the first time in the entirety of time. This was Krishna's statement to Radha. You know, so Radha's love for Krishna.
I remember is like so that. Many discourses, you know, Bhagavan used to always say that, you know, there is nothing that you can give to the Lord, and there's nothing that the Lord expects from us, because what is it that you can give? As Bhagavan used to say, you know, patram, phalam, pushpam, all the fruits, flowers, everything is his creation. You know, what petal of tulsi are you going to the one who's created the entire flora and fauna that you see around us? But always Swami used to say, there's only one thing that you can give, and that is the pure essence of your heart, in the pure love from your heart. And I think this is
one instance where, you know, we have seen the pinnacle of what devotion can be, and
yes,
perhaps Swami is telling us, if at all you want to give me something, this is what, if you can offer this, then the Lord also becomes a beggar in front of you, actually.
In fact, when Swami told that Radha ka aadhar hai dhara aradhana, yes, means her very foundation is that, yes, incessant aradhana. And this aradhana was not, as you beautifully mentioned, through phalam, pushpam, toyams. And as Bhagwan said, offer the patram of the kaya, of the body,
body, yes,
the leaf of the body, the phalam of your mind,
yes,
the fruit of your mind,
mind,
the pushpam of your heart,
mm,
and the toyam of tears of bliss and joy and love when you think of the Lord and when you're in experiencing the unity with Him.
Mm.
So Swami says that these are the actual modes of aradhana that the Lord enjoys, really, you know.
Wow, you know what you mentioned, tears of joy, experiencing the unity with the Lord.
Union with Lord.
Union with the Lord. In fact, you know, when I heard this bhajan for the first time, Radha, Radha, Gokula Bala, you know, what came to my mind is actually, you know, someone is calling out to Krishna, because, you know, you're talking about Gokula Bala, and then we're talking about Nanda, Nanda, Mukunda, Gopala. So I feel that, you know, someone actually was trying to call Krishna, but what comes to his mouth is Radha. Because, you know, they have become so synonymous with each other. Because after that, the bhajan is going on describing Krishna as Gokula Bala, as Nanda Ananda, as Mukunda, as Navanita Chora, as Shyama Gopala. And then finally, in the last line, it comes, you know, says, oh, okay, okay, you're the one, you know, Radha Madhava, you know, I was calling, I wanted to call Krishna, but only what came to my mind is Radha, Radha, and that's because you are Radha Madhava, you know, you are the Lord of Radha, and you are the one who is Rasa Vilola, who has done that beautiful Leelas in Vrindavan with Radha and the Gopi, and the Gopikas and the Gopalas.
In fact, what you just said, brother, is so beautiful, and there is a particular experience in the interview room that comes to my mind. There were a few devotees who had come from today's Mathura, Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. You know, there are Sai Samitis,
yes,
in the city of Mathura and in Vrindavan as well, where people had come from there all the way to Prashantanilayam to have the darshan of their Sai Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami had given them an interview. And in the interview, there were six of them seated, and Swami looked at each one and said, "Do you know who you are?" And they were all stunned to silence. They didn't expect the question. And then Swami went on to say, "You are Radha, you are Radha, you are Radha, you are Radha, you are Radha," to each one of them.
Wow.
You know, to convey what Mother Sita had told, yes, in Ramakatha Rasavahini, Bhagwan,
yes,
beautifully describes how Mother Sita tells Mother Anasuya,
hmm,
in the ashram of Atri,
yes,
and Anasuya, when she was asked by the Rishi Patni, Mother Anasuya, what is the principle of Rama? And Mother Sita replies that all the beings in this entire creation, everything that you see is just Stri or Prakriti, are all feminine in nature. The only Purusha or masculine in nature is Rama. That is the Rama Tattva, not the physical body of Rama. In fact, to reiterate this, there is a book called Adbhuta Ramayana.
Mm.
The author of it is still little ambiguous, but it is an ancient text, Adbhuta Ramayana. And in Adbhuta Ramayana, it is said that sage Bharadvaja approaches sage Valmiki and says, "Tell us those aspects which you have not written in, in the Ramayana." You know, and then it is said that the Adbhuta Ramayana is revealed. In Adbhuta Ramayana, there is a particular subject or a chapter where post-killing of Ravana, Mother Sita tells Rama that the task is not done. You have killed only the 10-headed Ravana. There is a 1,000-headed Ravana who is there in the northeast direction from Ayodhya. So unless he is vanquished, all the adharma in this world will not be put to check or control. So they go there, and there's a long story, but to cut it short, actually what happens is Rama is hit by an arrow by the Sahasra Dala Ravana, the 1,000-headed Ravana, and Mother Sita assumes the form of Kali.
Mm-hmm.
And she destroys this thousand-headed Ravana and all his denizens in one shot. And then Rama is revived by the sages who are around. Sage Vashishta, Vishwamitra and all other great sages and devas who are around. They revive the physical body of Rama, it is described there. As soon as he gets up, he gets up with the aggression that I must now, defeat this Rakshasa. So when he gets up and he sees there is no Rakshasa. Mm. So all the sages very reverentially tell Rama that, Oh Rama, all the demons have been killed by Mother Sita, who was so tender and saumya. So soft delicate. In her nature, seeing that you were hurt, she assumed the form of the cosmic mother, Mother Kali. The destroyer of the creation. And she assumed that form and see what she is doing. We are not able to cool her down. When they say that, it is described in Adbhuta Ramayana that Rama goes down on his knees and sings Sahasranama of Sita.
Oh, okay.
So this was little bit, I was unable to understand what is the significance of this, because we always thought of Rama as the tattva from which everything came. So obviously he is not the physicality of Rama, but the tattva of Rama is the source of entire creation, including Kali and Durga, Lakshmi, Saraswati, everything. But that particular episode gave this insight that even the physical body of Rama was made of the five elements, which was drawn from the nature. So what went down on the knees were the five elements, that is the physical body of Rama, which was paying tribute to its own mother, which was Kali, in the form of Kali, and sung the praise of Mother Sita. So Rama is the only Purusha. So from that point of view, all of us are just Prakriti Swarupas, And Swami, from this light, from this point of view, he said, you are Radha, you are Radha, you are Radha, you are Radha. Meaning all of you are Prakriti and Swami is the only Purusha Tattva. That is, realize the Atmic Self in you, that is the Purusha Tattva. And that is the last line in this, where Swami says, or the bhajan says rather, Radha Madhava Rasa Vilola. Madhava, Ma means Maya.
Yes.
Madhava means the master of Maya. Yes. Or the husband or the master of Maya.
Yes.
So Radha itself is Prakriti, which is Maya Swarup.
Yes.
And Madhava means the master, the lord of Maya. So Radha Madhava, that's why these two words are again combined seamlessly. Radha Madhava. Rasa Vilola means what? Who is Maya? Lord Krishna himself said, Mama Maya Durataya in in Bhagavad Gita, means this Maya is mine only. Means I myself have manifested as this Radha or as Prakriti, as Maya. So this is me only, my own expression, my vibhuti it is. So they are inseparable in that way. But again, going back to taking refuge in Ramayana, Swami during the marriage of Rama and Sita beautifully describes how even if one takes refuge in Prakriti with the prayer that, oh mother, lead me on to the Purusha or the Supreme Self, mother very compassionately, because she loves us so much, very compassionately takes us and puts us across her own Maya Self, and at the lotus feet of the Sadguru, who is the Purusha himself, the Adi Purusha himself. So Radha Madhava Rasa Vilola means this whole game of I separated myself from myself to love myself is Radha Madhava Rasa Vilola. And we are all Radhas, that is what Swami was saying. So our only duty, our only purpose of birth is to love Swami. There is no other reason why we are here. That Adi Purusha is our true nature, and Radha's eternal endeavor was to be in union with Krishna, and by Swami, by reiterating this to us, saying you are Radha, it means our eternal endeavor is only to be in union with Sai. There is no other purpose for our birth.
Yes. In fact, this Rasavi Lola, Krishna had that Leela with the Gopas and the Gopikas for a little while, when he was a child, as we were discussing. But in Radha, the Rasavi Lola continued in her heart all the while, it was incessant, and
that is eternal.
It was eternal.
That is the reason why when Krishna manifested, as you were saying, you know, she was not surprised, because it is all the time going on inside. And you know, when I think about this and extrapolate it to the current times, you know, I felt every moment that Bhagwan gave the students, gave the devotees, gave every person who came into his orbit, that is when the Rasavi Lola happened, you know, because every person has that love dance with the Lord. You know, there are few moments in your life, whether you have had physical proximity or not. If you have had physical proximity, yes, it is more pronounced. You know, the ecstasy is something else. But even otherwise, the moment the Lord comes into your life, a love dance begins. And you know, in every heart, there are those beautiful moments. You know, when you think about those moments, you are in a different plane. And those Rasavi Lola moments in every heart, you know, those are truly the eternal springs of joy, eternal springs of inspiration. When you look at the form aspect of Bhagwan and the aspect of Him without the form, you know, I many times feel that, you know, when Bhagwan was there giving darshan every day, used to go and sit there and, you know, relish in everything that was happening in the Sai Kulwant Hall, or whether in the Sai Ramesh Hall, or in Sai Shruti in Kodaikanal. So that Rasavi Lola was happening outside, you know, that Rasa Krida was happening outside. Suddenly he will create something, suddenly he will say something, suddenly he will announce something, you know, that was happening. But slowly Swami ensured that we learned to internalize this, so yes, that, you know, there came a time when suddenly when the form withdrew, you learned how to experience that same joy, continue the same bliss, but now do a deeper sadhana, just like Radha. Let this dance go on, but let it go on in a deeper manner. Let it go on with much more awareness. Let it go on with much more wisdom and with much more profundity of what it can do to us. You know, so that way, you know, I feel this Rasavi Lola is a very, very profound blessing, yes, that Swami gives to every devotee.
In fact, you have put it so succinctly, I would say, because there is one other experience that comes to my mind where Swami had asked the boys, do you know who Radha was? And they were all dumbfounded, and Bhagwan himself continued and said, union in separation, separation in union.
Yes.
So they were all wondering what that means. So Swami went on to explain and said, see, when she was physically separated with Krishna, the beautiful Ras Leela which you just explained with our physical Lord here in his avatarhood, Swami put this in those two phrases, union and separation, separation and union. This is the story of every devotee of Sai. When there was physical separation from Swami's beautiful avataric form, there was union, yes, inside the heart. Mm-hmm. So Radha experienced oneness with Krishna, yes, as her own self, mm-hmm, inside her heart, as the Atma Tattva. And when Krishna would come in physical, in front of her, she would engage with the body and mind.
Yes.
So that she can enjoy the Krishna avatar, the, yes, beautiful manifestation of the Lord in front of her eyes. So, dono haath mein laddu.
Yes.
To be filled, yes, with, yes, sweets and savories in both your hands.
Yes.
So she enjoyed iha and para, both.
Yes.
But the point is, her was dhara aradhana, means it's an unbroken stream.
Yes.
So either it was inside or it was outside.
Yes.
So you enjoy Swami's leelas outside.
Yes.
At that time, you are enjoying Him in His, yes, manifest form. Yes. And when nothing like that is visible to your eye, you are, yes, continuously anyway enjoying the inner Swami. So that is the most beautiful. Means you are never not enjoying, yes, Swami's leelas.
I mean, it is as good as what Bhagwan has mentioned about the creation. I separated myself from myself to love myself.
Yes.
So same thing Radha was doing when, yes, Krishna is coming in the front. So she is like separating that Krishna which is there inside,
yeah,
just so that she can relish those moments, yeah, of serving Krishna, of being with Krishna. Yes. And once that Krishna on the outside disappears, then she is back again with her Lord.
In fact, today our Swami is there in all the devotees, in all the beings, whether it's plants, animals. Swami says, see me in everybody.
Yes.
So when we get to enjoy His Leela through the creation, that time we, with the with the bhava that this is my Swami, we serve the creation. Means we be a part of this whole service. I cannot say we serve because even he's working through this body also, this mind also. So we enjoy being part of this whole beautiful expression of love in the form of seva. And when we are to ourselves, even at that time, we are enjoying the bliss of Atma Rama or our Sai Krishna, who is the indweller. As he told in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivrishta. I am the resident of each one of your hearts. I am the core of your being. So, this also reminds me of one more experience, which is the third line of this bhajan. And it's so important to recount the experiences as well, because they create such imageries and memories in the mind. Those imageries by themselves are imaginations, but the bhava that they trigger is very, very important. And for both bhajan and Bhagavatam, the first syllable is bha, which represents bhava.
Yes.
Without bhava, Swami says there can be no bhajan.
Yes.
It becomes ja.
It's in one discourse, Swami says it is bhavyam.
Bhavyam. So the bhava can emerge. As I told you, I am fortunate not to be a lead singer. So I in my own ruminations and trying to learn from Swami's teachings, I found a discourse where Swami, in fact, very nicely you gave an introduction here and said that these are namavalis. You know, where you just hear names of the Lord, but it is so sweet. But Swami, in a discourse in the 1960s, had mentioned this. He gives an elaborate discourse on only bhajans. And he describes the various types of bhajans. And he says, why this is good, but why it is not the best. And finally, he comes to namavalis. And he says, the best type of bhajans are the namavalis, because it takes you straight to the heart. Because Rama, Krishna and all are names that are assigned to your own heart, your Atma Tattva. So straight to the heart it takes you. And in that context, there is this Bhagavatam of the Lord, where Navanita Chora Shama Gopala. This happened in Trai Vrindavan. Swami is Krishna himself. In fact, when we had gone to Chennai, and there was a singer who was singing Krishna Ni Begane Baro. We were all seated there. Swami was expected to come and this singer was singing Krishna Ni Begane Baro. Oh Krishna, come to me quickly. And Swami entered and he heard that line. And very spontaneously Swami said, Adha Vandache.
Oh,
I have come. You know, so he is Krishna. And I have seen him defend himself very, very strongly in a Trai session, where he asked the boys to sing and they sang a verse where Navanita Chora came. And Swami said, hey, stop. So we all stopped singing. And Bhagavan said, see, why are you saying Navanita Chora? Everything belongs to Krishna. The whole cosmos and the creation was made by him. And don't you think then the piece of butter which is lying in that house also, does it not belong to him?
How can he be a thief?
How can Navanita Chora? So he said, I disagree with this statement. Yeah. That he
Navanita
was not a thief.
In Sanskrit means butter. Yeah.
In Sanskrit, Navanita is butter. And Swami means this is also a leela.
Yes,
because the symbolism behind Navanita Chora is, if we make our heart so sublime and pure, our mind so sublime and pure, and keep it at his lotus feet, just like the Gopikas.
Yes.
What they used to do is, they used to actually make the butter and keep it at a height so that Krishna will come and steal us.
Yes.
So in the same way Swami says, our heart like butter, white, pure, our mind and heart should be made pure and white like the butter, and it is kept at a level, you know, where Krishna should only come and steal, because we don't know where to go and offer. Where the Atma Tattva is, an Ajnani or a mind that is not yet enlightened will not know. So we pray to the Sadguru that, oh Lord, I don't know where your real dwelling is. Why don't you come here and steal my mind and heart? And that is what the Gopikas told as well. They said, we had one mind and our Krishna took away that mind. So we have nothing here to experience or know in this world. All we know is Krishna.
I think that's what happens in every bhajan session, you know. The Lord takes away your mind. Navanita Chora. I mean, all that, as we discussed in the beginning also, all Bhagavan longs for is that love. And, you know, that is the Radhaness. If at all we want to in any way become a devotee of the Lord,
if at all we want this bhajan session to uplift us in any way, then it can be only done when we develop that kind of purity and that kind of sublimity, so that, you know, you just, wherever you see only Krishna, and you can only think, what can I do to love him more? And I think that is the sadhana that should become a part of our everyday life and should get accentuated when you are in a bhajan session. Thank you so much, brother, for this lovely satsang.
Sai Ram, brother. Thank you so much.
So that was Brother Sai Giridhar, who works for the Sri Sathya Sai Center for Human Values in Prashanthi Nilayam Ashram. And with that, it's time to move on to the final lap of this session, the Prashanthi Mandir version of this beautiful bhajan.
Radha, Radha, Gokul Bala. Radha, Radha, Gokul Bala.
With that, we are through with this episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Really grateful to Bhagwan that he has given us this opportunity to offer this bhajan at his lotus feet. We will continue this series with more bhajans coming up in the pipeline. If you have any queries or comments, as always, please feel free to write. You can write to listener@radiosai.org. With gratitude at his lotus feet, we bring this session to a close. Thank you so much.
You were listening to an episode of our program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on the 2nd August 2018 as part of Thursday Live from Prashanthinilayam on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.